What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
The other host, some would say. Most would say.
Well, it's up for debate. You know. Really what we need to do is put out a survey and have options like guest host, special guest.
Ben, don't try and divert people. We already have such a thing in place and it's called the Patreon. And if you want to select who the one true host is, all you gotta do is just head over to patreon.com/popcornculture
and you'll find Buzzy B.
You'll find Jazzy J as an option there. You can choose basically who the other host is and who the one true host is. So if it's up to you.
Yeah. And more than anything else though, if you really want a smidgen of additional popcorn culture action at the end of every episode, we record an additional 10 to 15 minutes that we like to call after the final pop, where we basically just keep discussing.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's a question from you guys. Sometimes it's just a little deeper than what we were already talking about.
Occasionally it is, what have we bought most recently on Amazon?
A fun game. Fun game indeed.
Because almost always there is like a story.
It's like,
why? Well, this is a random thing to buy.
Even your commonplace items, you might have reasons behind how you landed on such commonplace items.
That is very true. I'm trying to think of something specific that I buy where it's like hair gel, maybe. Do you always buy the same hair gel or do you mix it up?
No, I have the same hair gel and it's on like it's part of my subscribe and save.
Oh, you do subscribe and save. How fancy.
Of course.
Like all the different ways that Amazon has come up with to make it that much easier for you to just always buy your stuff from them.
What they want is that frictionless purchasing, like the less buttons you have to push, you made a video about this in year one Super Carlin Brothers, which was one of the more creative videos we did that year, where you had like how to make anything better, and it was just like less parts. And Amazon has certainly gone out of their way to less part you. They're like, hey, how many clicks did it used to take you to buy something online? Three? Can we get it down to two? Can we get it down to one?
Can we have it so that if you search it, it's just at your door already?
Yeah.
And no, you're absolutely correct, though. I mean, barriers to entry, I think, is such an interesting concept. Like, you know, what small amount more would it have taken for you to commit to an action versus not commit to an action because it required you to fill in your shipping address or it required you to create an account? And you're like, I don't want to do that. Like, do I really want this thing? Like, I don't.
Yeah, you're going to send me emails.
Right, exactly.
Get spam. I don't want it.
So, no, it's such a thing, though. Yeah, I think the ease at which they get you. And this is the case with so many different things, though. It's like even a new hobby that you want to get into, like the barrier to entry could be like the cost of the equipment, you know, or like the amount of time that you would have to dedicate to it. Like the barriers is not always like specifically cost, you know, it can so easily be just a myriad of anything that is specifically slowing you down.
Yeah. It's like what they don't want is for you to have like that buyer's remorse on the like checkout page.
Right.
They want you to like that impulse. I need it. Boom. It's done. Too late. Can't take it back. So they're going for. On the flip side, while they're going frictionless on the purchasing side of things, they are like, how can we build mountains on the exit strategy here? Where like, I don't know if you've ever looked this up. If you wanted to delete your Amazon account, like remove your email from their system,
yeah,
you are in for a slog.
No, really? Oh, I've never, yeah. I guess I've never considered
right.
it. But.
Right, well, because like, hey, if you don't wanna, it'd be easy enough to just not shop there.
Right.
You know, like you
right.
could just stop using it,
yep.
but you will still have an account.
Yep.
Right? If you want to like straight up delete it, it's not like some easy button. It's not even some like hard to read button at the bottom. It's not even, you know, it's not like suspend your account. There are hurdles and you have to like fill out forms. You have to like wait for a phone call. And then after the phone call, it'll go through processing. And then I think they mail you something. Like it is hard. Like you have to physically talk to someone at some point.
What?
Yeah, it's called, I forget the official word for it. I think it's called like a dark maze or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's basically just like obviously they have to provide the service of allowing you to do it.
The ability to, right, yeah.
Like legally, I think they're obliged to do it, but they are like not in the business of you deleting your account.
Man, this is, I get frustrated with stuff like this. I mean, for Amazon, I actually genuinely believe I could delete the app off of my phone and it would save me money, you mm-hmm. know, because like talking about the barriers to entry, it's so easy to open it. It's so easy to find it. They've pre-sorted and told you like this is the best seller with the best reviews and you know it's Amazon's choice or whatever. Like they like affirm your purchase so many times to where it's like, oh, like this was really easy to find and this one is apparently really popular and works really well and like Amazon recommends it and like and then all you have to do is like press one button.
Yeah. And it's because so often what you're doing, if it's like a one click kind of purchase, it's normally not something you need to like research very much.
True.
You know, it's just like dish soap. Okay, yeah, this one looks good. Good. It's done.
It's done. But yeah, no, this happened to me. I remember like years ago, while I was in college, there was a day that like I was buying like a Valentine's Day gift for someone. And I think it was like a poster. Do you remember like giving like a poster as a gift? Is that still a thing? Do people still gift posters?
Sure, probably.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure.
Why not?
It was in college and like adorning your walls with posters is a very college thing to do.
I think this is one of those things like our mother was just so anti-posters in our rooms. Like I would go to friends' houses or when you see kids in movies and you like the camera visits their room and their walls are covered in like posters and stickers and flags and
I'm getting riled up just hearing you talk about it.
I'm getting riled up.
Truly though.
Oh my goodness.
Like even like Sid's room in Toy Story, which is like creepy. Like he's got a whole bunch of stuff going on. He's got like a black light. He's got a toolbox, mm-hmm. like a mm-hmm. milk crate. I need a milk crate probably.
Yeah.
You know, like who's those are things that like all bedrooms need. No, the one that gets me the most though, I think it's Sam Witwicky from the first Transformers movie.
Okay.
He's got like a whole setup. You know, it's like it's such a cool room. And I love that.
Or like Ferris
that.
Bueller. He's got a great room.
Ferris Bueller has a great room. He this has like is, a like an advanced stereo.
Yeah. There's a show on right now on Hulu called Little Fires Everywhere.
Yeah.
And
great rooms.
Well, this is one of these things that just like it like tore at like so Reese Witherspoon is basically like the villain of the show or whatever. She's got this like, you know, super perfect life and her family is so like she's trying to make everyone in her family like perfect.
Okay.
And to like this is how things are and you know, that's whatever. But her youngest daughter is like one of the like
perceived as perfect, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. I understand. Good distinction.
Yeah. Good distinction. But her youngest daughter like, you know, sees the world much clearer than she does. But like even in that girl's room, I think her name is Izzy in the show, the walls are covered and stuff. And I'm like, look. I understand that the point of this character is that she's supposed to be pretty rebellious against her mom, but her mom is so controlling that she would never allow the stuff on the walls.
Oh,
like,
right.
You know, like, I understand she's actively probably trying to annoy her mom, but her mom would not allow it. And I know that because my mom was not that controlling and we could not put stuff on the walls.
It's funny. I don't know that, like, I don't know that it was so specifically that we weren't allowed to so much. Like, if we had it, I didn't know that that wouldn't be okay to put things on our walls so much as the acquisition of the things to put on the walls.
This is just mom being smarter than you as a kid. You're just, like, cutting it off at the snake, you know, cutting off the head of the snake.
Oh, I see.
Like, once, because, yeah.
Like, you can't hang posters on the wall if I don't let you have posters.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. See, you thought maybe mom just didn't like posters, but she really didn't want, and she would also like, I don't want to put holes in the wall. And be like, but like, won't the picture be covering the hole? Like, what's the problem? I don't know what you, like, I don't.
I can't even tell you how little that hung me up when I went to college, like especially in my apartments that I would literally live in from like September through May.
Yeah.
Like technically it was a year long lease, but I like would go home for the summers and stuff. So yeah. 9 months, you know, approximately that I'm like mm-hmm. living in a specific place. And I would go and like fully decorate, like, yeah, like to the night. Like, I mean, it was like I lived in a completely furnished, completely decorated, ready to go. Everything is like, you know, no bare walls anywhere. And like every single time I would leave, it would always be one of these things where I would like villainize the local rental company that you work with. It's like, wow, they didn't give me any of my security deposit back. And it's like, probably because it looked like I like peppered the walls with.
I think you just sort of have to know when you're a college, when you're living in an apartment in college, you're just not getting that security deposit back.
It's not coming back. It's like back. Have no, yeah, what would be the word? No illusions, yeah, that that's going to happen.
Don't delude yourself.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. You have ruined that apartment, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, so I think you're right. Like when I got to college, I definitely like went full bore. And so maybe I was still in the dorm rooms when I was buying this particular poster to bring us back full circle.
Right. Okay.
To
what we're talking about.
Dark mazes, I guess, of exit strategies. But I remember I was buying, the girl that I was dating liked the TV show Gossip Girl, which, like, good show. Very addictive.
XOXO. That's Kristen Bell. Did you know that? Gossip
is it
Girl
really?
Is the voice of Gossip Girl? Yeah.
Wow, my mind has been blown.
Right.
I'm so excited to hear that. But so I was buying the girl a Gossip Guys poster. It was like the three guys
like Dan and Chuck and Nate.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I remember actually feeling like slightly uncomfortable, like as if it was like an inappropriate thing for me to be buying or something, but I was like
at the checkout counter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, but I was like trying like really hard to be like, you know, like no, I'm this is like me being a good boyfriend. Like I'm really, mm-hmm. like, I'm going above and beyond right now.
Yeah.
By getting this poster.
Wow.
But anyway, so like I'm at like the checkout counter at whatever store at the mall sold posters, and they were like, oh, congratulations! Like you get like a free like magazine with the purchase today or something, and I was like, all right, and so. Like, you know, I it was kind of like one of those things where I was like, that's fine. I don't want it, but I also don't have like a problem if you want to like send it. That's okay. And so I didn't even like fill anything out other than I think like, you know, like a little mailer type card or something like you would find inside of a magazine. And I guess with the transaction, it just automatically subscribed me to a magazine subscription to this magazine.
Oh, great.
Like, yeah, I know. And it was like, I don't even know what the magazine was. It was like absolutely nothing that I would ever like pick out. I don't know that I've ever had a magazine subscription that I was like enamored with or at all.
Yeah. Have I, like, I remember I got Boy's Life when I was a kid.
Boy's
Life.
Going
back to my Cub Scouting.
I have a story about a Boy's Life magazines, but okay. we'll come back to that okay. in a second. Yeah. So anyway, but I was in college. And so like at most, I think in my bank account, especially freshman year, I had somewhere between like $40 and $75 total.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how much money I had.
Right.
Like that was my disposable income that I could go and buy something with.
Sure.
And so sure enough, like a couple months later, the subscription starts coming out because the free
trial.
The free magazine that I got
for buying your
Gossip Guys poster
yeah.
is expired, unfortunately. So this is the first time in my life that I overdrafted my bank account because of a magazine subscription that apparently was supposed to be free, but totally wasn't free because I had been had.
You're buying a poster and they just like immediately sign you up for it.
Yeah.
Like you had to fill stuff out.
I filled out like a postcard thing that like had my like mailing address on it.
Right.
And that was it. And again, it was I don't even know what the magazine was. It was not even something that like would have been useful in any capacity. It was like I had to pick between like three options.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, this one seems the least. I don't
right.
know.
You just like didn't have it in you to like tell the guy behind the cashier behind the counter, no thanks.
Yeah, like and that's truly what it was, is that all I really had to say was, no, I would rather not have it.
Right.
And so I ended up having it, and this like single moment ended up being such a like it had such a ripple effect into my life, because I remember it was leading up to spring break. So Valentine's Day obviously is in February, and then our spring break was like late March or going to April or something like that. And for that spring break, it was gonna be the first time ever that I was going to be going like to the beach,
yeah,
on my own, like not like with like mom and dad, but like with friends and stuff. And I had like managed to like find ways to like raise money to like do the trip and everything, I guess. Or maybe I didn't, because of the next part of this story. So I overdrafted the account though, and mom I think must have been on the bank account, but she got really upset with me for like overdrafting.
Okay.
And she was like, you cannot go to the beach. Like, you, I'm sorry, but if you're overdrafting your account, you are not responsible enough to go to the beach on your own. And I was like, what? Like, no, but mom, it was the magazine. It was, I didn't even want it. Like, you know, I was like,
yeah.
In my mind, like this magazine company had like wronged me in such like a way.
I totally understand.
Yeah. But the Dark Maze was the thing, is that like in order to like cancel it, it was exactly like that. It was like you had to like write a handwritten letter with MLA format and a works cited, and like, you know, like, I mean, it's like,
yeah,
it was way too many steps to cancel it.
Right.
And so it was such a challenge. And then I was so worried that I wasn't going to get to go to the beach.
Did you go to the beach? I don't even remember this trip.
Ultimately, I did. I went to Myrtle Beach, and it was a pretty, honestly, like it was kind of a dreadful experience.
Kind of a, oh no.
Yeah.
Wow. Like,
unfortunately, the beach in very early spring, especially when you have such limited resources that your recent magazine subscription overdrafts your account.
Yeah.
You really can't do very much.
That, yeah. I had a very similar experience to this with Netflix in the early days, back in the DVD days, where like,
I forgot Netflix used to mail you DVDs.
Yeah, they used to mail you DVDs. You could like set up a queue. It was, it really felt like it was kind of like, it reminds me of like old YouTube, where if you like subscribe to something, it was like, it almost felt like a responsibility to like, if I subscribe to this, maybe I should really watch it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I need to keep up to date on my subscriptions here.
Right. Right.
But it was like a game. So I think it was Beth's parents had like given me like 90 days free or something on Netflix. It's just like a, I don't know, birthday gift or something. And it was like, okay, cool, great, I'll try it out. And, you know, yeah, I had so much fun setting up my queue, and I got all these movies, and it was like, every time I got one, I was like, it was like a goal to like watch it, because it had like a time limit. You know, I was like, I only have this for a limited time. So
right.
If I can watch it, send it back, get the next one, watch that one. It was like, you know, I'm physically limited by the speed of the mail.
Yes.
And so it was like, any day you don't watch it, that's a whole nother day you don't get another new movie.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Can you imagine?
Can't imagine. This is like, sometimes I hate streaming, because I just have boxes of these like carefully curated DVD collections and seasons of TV shows just sitting in my basement now.
You do. Just like, you were like really big on like the DVD box sets.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it was great. I loved being able to like watch like seasons of shows all at once. Right. And now it's so easy.
You were binge watching before there was a term for it.
I was binging before, man. I was like, anyway, but so whatever. Went through, finished the 90-day trial, and was just, okay, guess I'm done with this. Oh, well, only to log in, like, I don't know, 8 months later and figure out that, sure enough, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, it's not free anymore, but we are still charging you for it.
Right.
And this was like, oh, it was so frustrating, because it wasn't, like, a ton of money. But, again, I was in a space where I didn't really have any money.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So it was just like, oh, and it was this, like, doubly frustrating thing, because I had really enjoyed doing the DVD thing. So it was like, not only had I found out that I'd been charged for this thing for months, but like, had I known, I would have just kept using it.
Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, you were enjoying the service, but you were like, well, it's over, so.
So I guess I'll stop. Oh my, oh, it made me so mad. It was just like, oh, like, could you guys just give me like 8 months free or something? I'd be like, you know? Ugh.
Oh, and that's the thing too, is that it's like the worst offense in the world, especially to the perspective of the person on the other end, who is continued to have the service. It's not my fault you didn't use it for 8 months.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So there's nothing at all that they want to do to help you.
Yeah.
In this capacity.
No.
So that's, yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. That's rather unfortunate.
That was that. I do have back to your story about like at the checkout counter, like all the, I don't know, freebie promo stuff, whatever. Yeah. So I remember one time when I think I was in middle school, I think it was eighth grade, mom took me shopping at the mall, and I think we were shopping at Express, which this, I think they've rebranded since then, because I feel like it was a very different store than it is now.
I had the exact same experience with Express, where once upon a time, like, I would just walk past it, and I, like, it wasn't like, it wasn't something that felt like it matched my style, which I don't even know that I've...
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, in middle school, I didn't really know what my style was at all.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I don't even know if I know today, presently.
Yeah. But I always remember that specific checkout because they were like, oh, looks like you qualify for this bag and you qualify for this, like, it was like all these things. It was like these random amount of free stuff we got when we checked out. I was always like, man, that was pretty crazy. But what I specifically remember is one of the shirts I bought. Let me know if you remember me wearing this shirt because it is like etched in my memory as this like embarrassing thing. But it was a yellow shirt, and on it, it had a guy playing a guitar, but it was very difficult to make out the guy playing the guitar. It was made of like what looked like just red blotches.
Yes.
All the way down the shirt.
I do and remember like, this shirt.
Yes. And
oh my gosh.
Like, I remember looking at it in the store, and you know, mom was holding it up. It was like, what do you think? I was like, what is it? Like, is there supposed to be something on it? And she like sort of turned it a couple ways and was like, oh, it's a guy like playing a guitar. And like, sure enough, if you could like get some perspective and hold it flat and like look at it at the right angle, you could see it was a guy like leaning back. He was like arms fully extended, holding the neck of the guitar, like, you know, really jamming. It was like striking a pretty good pose, but it takes up like the whole shirt.
Sure.
You know, but let me tell you how many people ever recognized that someone was playing a guitar.
Oh, I did not know.
Never.
I was going to say, yeah, never. I know the exact shirt that you're talking about, and I thought that it was more of like an abstract, like splatter paint.
Uh-huh. That's what it looked like.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It looked like, but because the colors were yellow and red, it just looked like mustard shirt with red abstract splatter on it. And I was like the only one who got it. And I was like determined, like, no, it is cool. Like, I'm going to keep wearing it. Every time I wear it, people, like, nonstop, people would be like, Carly just spilled something on your shirt. And be like, no, it's a guy playing. They'd be like, I don't see it. And it's like, no, but it's like you're trying to convince them. Like, no, trust me.
Trust me, it's cool.
It's cool. It's like, Jay, take the hit, man. Stop wearing this shirt.
Also, best case scenario, it is a guy playing a guitar. How does that help you?
I don't know.
You didn't play the guitar.
I didn't know.
Did you know the guy?
Nope. It was just like, this is just a cool shirt, I guess. I was like, no, it's cool because it takes a little effort to see it, sort of thing.
Oh, sure.
Oh, man. Not ever did one person ever also see the true shape of that shirt.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't know what became of it. I wonder if I could find it somewhere. I doubt it. That'd be a great
Patreon
post.
Went down in history. Like a picture of you wearing it.
Oh, no.
That would be even better.
Man, that would be. That might exist somewhere if we could find it, but I doubt it. Anyway, that's my story. The worst shirt ever.
The worst shirt ever. I mean, I think that like throughout history, that's gonna happen to all of us. But I mean, because inevitably, you know, fashion changes, you look back on things and you're like, what was I thinking?
Oh.
You wanna know what the worst is sunglasses. Sunglasses yeah. do not age well
mm-hmm.
at all.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I remember that like when I was going into college, the thing that like was super popular with my group of friends were these like Oakley like gas cans.
Oh, the gas cans.
They were like big Oakley, like kind of like square spectacle. Like it almost looked like you should exclusively wear them like while riding a motorcycle or something.
If you're having trouble picturing what gas cans look like, just think of the last wedding you were at and it was the sunglasses that guy was wearing.
That guy,
That guy was wearing the sunglasses.
There is always someone, they're probably white, like a pair of like white gas cans.
They might be. They might be white. They might be black.
That's oh my gosh. So oh man, yeah, so that's been one of those things though where there have been so many times throughout history where I remember like I would buy, and this has been like a big thing for me too, like I would buy a pair of sunglasses that like I spent a ton of time like mulling over.
Dude, when we were I don't know what it was, like sunglasses felt so important.
Yes,
like, having a cool pair, like, and I think maybe the world of sunglasses had just changed a lot, but like Oakley's for sure was the desirable brand.
That was the desirable brand. And I think the way that it worked for me is that the scope of available sunglasses on the market were either Oakley's or gas station sunglasses. Like, like those were like the only two arenas in which you could buy a pair of functioning sunglasses. Yeah. And of course I was not gonna, like, I was like above wearing gas station sunglasses. And so it had, I had to like save up and I had to buy like polarized Oakley's and they were gonna be like the coolest. And I think once I, or maybe even more than once, I like had my name like etched into the lens.
That more was,
like,
than
a,
once.
That was like a service they like offered. So it would like say like Carlin, like right inside, like the right next to like the bridge of your nose, as if, yeah, like as if that's beneficial in some way.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, it's like I remember going back and I had my gas cans at one point, and then I got these like Oakley aviators, and I was like, oh, that's like really cool.
You know what? Aviators, I think, are the only sunglasses that never go out of style.
It's true, except this particular pair was like way too big for my face. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they just didn't like look right. So like whenever I go back and see photos where I'm wearing those, it's like, oh, Ben, you were still figuring it out, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Little by little. Not that I have anything wrong with aviators. I actually do like them. But now I feel like we've gotten very lucky because we found this brand of sunglasses called Gooders.
Like, well, I feel like, yes, I know. Yes, Gooders are great. And I feel like Gooders recognized exactly the problem.
Yeah.
They were like, this, everyone wants cool sunglasses, but nobody can afford them. So what if we just make cool sunglasses, but you can't afford them?
It's like, what a great idea.
What a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, Gooders is Graders. No, but yeah, so they're just like plastic sunglasses that come in like a variety of cool colors with like cool names.
Yeah.
And they're like the correct shape and they're comfortable and they cost $30. And it's like, it is literally that middle ground between Oakley's and gas station sunglasses that like I always wanted.
But I feel like the way it's, and you know, this is not, they're not like sponsored or anything. We do sell Gooder sunglasses at supercolorandbrothers.store.
We do.
They're red with blue lenses and they're awesome. But I feel like there was this weird storm of things where like for a while, like event sunglasses became like sort of a trendy thing.
That's true. Like the black with like the colored.
Yeah, with the colored sides, and you'd go to events and they'd hand them out and you'd everyone wear them to be like, oh, cool, it's fun. But like, so they're almost just like a more refined event sunglasses looking thing.
Yep.
But they just do them in all these fun colors and they always have these really like fun names, like what are some of the names, like Fire Shots of Whiskey or something.
Yep, yep. Yeah, and that's like black with like bright orange or yeah, something. Yeah,
it'd be like flamingo sunburn or something, you know, like just ice cool with a Yeti. I don't know, they had these hilarious names. But I feel like what happened was like they permeated, and this is just my perception, like they permeated so well that like to me, like it's like executed so well that Oakley's have become like ridiculous. Like it, like if I see someone wearing Oakley's, I'm like, man, you have been had, my friend.
Right.
Like they are no longer like to the point where like Oakley's are not even cool anymore. Like are like Gooders has defeated Oakley's so thoroughly that they have stopped their coolness. It's like why would you ever spend high dollar on
No, you're absolutely correct. And this was something that like I remember like year in, year out, like when we would like go to like the outlet mall at the beach or something. Like I would like look forward to finding like a sunglass hut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that like,
right.
Well, I'm gonna... like the place that sells all the designer sunglasses. And I would go in and I would like be like really serious about it, and they'd be like, you know, like I would always like know the specific name, mm-hmm, of like the sunglasses that like I wanted, and I would like speak the language and like talk to the person there as if it's like we're wheeling and dealing on like cool cars or something. And you know, it's like no, I'm not looking for the nightshades, any of the you know,
yeah, I already know of models.
Yeah, okay. I know the models. Like, I know what I'm doing. Okay. Okay. But yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. It's like, it like just literally just disapparated. Like,
yeah,
this whole entire concept thing that I looked forward to just ceased to be. And now I'm just like perfectly comfortable always having like these just basic $30 plastic sunglasses.
Yeah,
your awesome
Hey Brother sunglasses from supercarlandbrothers.store.
There you go. So, okay, before the other thing is, because I feel like there's going to be lots of people who are going to want to email about this, because it actually is a rather interesting thing in the sunglasses like world, is there, I think that there is almost like a, not quite a monopoly, but there is a like a company that,
yeah,
seems to buy every single major sunglass provider.
Yes, this is a thing.
It is a thing. So, because when you really like, when you boil it down at the end of the day, I mean, like it's mostly plastic,
yeah,
glass.
It's like, how is any brand getting away with this? Like, why isn't someone just being like, we can make the exact same product and sell it cheap?
And basically the answer is that almost everybody who ever did that was purchased by this company.
By the same company.
And they would do the same thing. So I don't even know what the name of the company is. is, but I know that they own like Oakley's and like Ray-Bans and Lens Crafters and like all the things. I think I learned about it specifically because of Serial, the podcast.
Oh, really?
Isn't that like where I think that one of the
Heyman Lee's boyfriend, Don's mom owns a Lens Crafter, so Don worked there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
My wife is really into Serial.
She likes true crime.
My wife is super into true crime. Yeah. Yes. I think I learned about that thing from Adam Ruins Everything. He has like an episode about glasses.
Going into glasses and like the whole like world of it.
Yeah.
Okay. That is like the other interesting thing that I think has happened in our world since we've been alive is there has been this like drastic growth of companies who have like all like manifested in the world. And it was all like so much information I feel like existed out in the public, but nobody was ever really paying attention to it because it was almost like, how would you even ever begin to know where to look? And then I think as time goes on, there became all of these shows like the John Oliver show or whatever that like started actually like looking into just everything. And all of a sudden it became very clear very quickly that like there are so many companies out there that operate just like this. Like you can't hide in plain sight anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's like, I feel like we have like watched this giant tidal wave form and then sort of in its wake has like come all of this like other information where people are starting to perceive and watch and sift and become that much more informed, which is like very interesting to watch happen. I think we're alive during an interesting period of time.
Yeah, may you live during interesting times. That's what they say, right?
That's like, I think it's not a positive sentiment like to say like, may you live during interesting times.
Is it not?
I think it's like, hold on, I'm going to look it up because I think that this is something I had heard people say it before, but the idea of saying like, may you live in interesting times is almost like wishing something bad happens to them.
Okay.
Because typically interesting times does not translate to good times.
I see.
Let's see here. Hang on. Okay. May you live in interesting times is an expression where the speaker ironically wishes an interesting time to whomever he or she is speaking. In reality, he or she wishes the person to live during times of uncertainty and disorder as opposed to at peace and tranquility.
Ah, I see.
So that is the definition of living in interesting times.
If you live in uninteresting times, you live in certain times.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
Right. I gotcha. Well, I've been, I don't think I've ever wished that to somebody, so that's good.
That's good. Yeah. You were never like leaving a conversation like, may you live in interesting times.
Yeah.
And then like they walk away being like, wow, what a jerk.
Yeah. I'm just like, I promise I'm wearing an interesting shirt.
It's a guy playing a guitar. You have to squint.
You have to look. Maybe hold it out for you. Let me stretch it.
It's helping. It's helping.
Yeah. I also want to say that shirt did not fit well, which is a running theme. I think when I was growing up, I like when I started growing height wise really fast, it was something I was like very proud of. Like, I'm so tall. I don't know if like many people take such pride like as you're getting older or whatever, but to me it was like, I know I need larges.
I need larges.
And I was like so excited about it. It's like, because I'm tall. So I mean, you know what? But it's like, I had this shirt from, I think it's from Abercrombie. It was like the one like cool store shirt I had in sixth grade.
Right.
It was like
right. One
thing from Abercrombie that I was allowed to get. It was just this like blue checked button up shirt.
I remember that shirt as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I remember it too because it's sitting in my closet at home because I think I gave it to Beth at some point. I was like, this is my favorite shirt. But so I found it one day and I was like, I wonder if this still fits. Cause I've been like, lifting weights. I'm a little bit like bulkier and wider and I've definitely gained weight since high school when I would have been wearing this shirt.
Sure. Like,
certainly it probably is a little tight on me now. And I put it on and it is like too big for me now.
You're kidding.
I'm like, what was I wearing? Like, how? This must have been like falling off of me in like sixth
cloak.
Grade. Yeah. Who was letting me leave the house like this? Mom.
I was just going to say, it's so funny that you said like it was like the one like cool shirt that you owned, because I think that like we all sort of had like our Abercrombie shirt.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, you know, the one, because there's only one of them.
Oh my gosh. When's the last time you went into an Abercrombie?
Are Abercrombie still a thing? Is that still a company that exists?
It exists somewhere.
Well,
probably it's owned by like Lens some
crafters.
Other company. Yeah, Lens Crafters.
Like everything is. Oh my gosh.
All right, Ben. I have disheartening news on the front of our 4 out of 10 D&D fame as it relates to our existence on the Cave Spring High School Wikipedia page.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I thought we were doing good. I was checking it every day for a while. I was positive it was going to come off, but days went by and I was like, okay. Did most of the time when I was checking, if I went back hours later, it would have they were on it.
Okay.
Quick. So I thought maybe we had snuck it by someone and they were just like, okay, let's just fine. You guys, we'll just put these names here.
People out there are for some reason being very annoying about this.
Like, just fine. That's what I thought. Or that they had just been like, oh, maybe we looked into it a little more. And it's like, okay. Yeah. Anyway, after we last talked about it on the pop, many, many little kernels were just very enthusiastic. And it started changing again. Like, it started getting new edits.
Oh!
So then it, re-invited review to, review, oh, was this edit okay? But rather than reviewing, oh, was the edit okay, that also that just scaled back and were like, should this even be here?
Oh,
and
no.
And it seemed like, and you can, oh, I went through and you could look at the log and it said removed for not being removed from notable persons for not being notable enough.
Again?
I know. So.
I really kicked you while you're down.
I know. It's like, man. I was like, how do they judge? Because seems like you didn't go to high school with me. I doubt you're watching us on YouTube or listening to the pop or anything. You know? Who are you, Wikipedia editor? Anyway.
Let me back that up a little bit, because this is the blue check mark on Instagram and Twitter.
It is exactly like that.
It's this just bizarro phenomenon.
Yeah, no one knows how they get it.
I just said phenomenon.
You did.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. See, there was. I caught myself. Apparently it's been pointed out to me that I say phenomenon too often. It's this bizarro phenomenon where there are such strange circumstances that lean into what allows you to be blue check marked.
Right.
And it's fine. I've almost made peace with it, where it's like, you know what? Whatever. I don't even want it.
If you log in one day and you're like, what?
It would make my year, but I don't want it. No, and it's this is one of those funny things too, where we know people, or I went to high school with a handful of people who are now reporters.
Yeah.
And not, in super major markets or anything like that, or have that many followers. Not that that's the actual defining factor or anything like that, but they do have it because they are it is confirming, yes, in fact, this is the person who is the Channel 4,
right,
you know, whatever, coverage guy. And so they have the blue check, and I'm like, man, and all of our YouTube friends, I feel have blue check marks.
It's hit or miss. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
And so forever though, I thought that this was something that maybe just to meet someone at Twitter and make your case. So I remember we were at VidCon several years ago, and we walked into one of the things, and we're talking to this guy there, and I'm like, so listen, here's the question. How do I get that blue check mark? And I'm 100% sure that every single person that ever talks to him asks this exact question.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out, is there anything we can do? Is there a case we can make? Is there a person we can know? I know on the back end, it can't be any harder than clicking a button. I know it's not hard to enact.
Oh, I know.
And it's I just want the blue check mark.
Do you ever feel like, I don't even, obviously we're already talking about it, but do you ever feel I don't know, a little self-centered, wanting the check mark?
It is, completely.
Yeah,
it is.
Oh, it's such vanity.
It's 100% vanity. And I think that's the number one thing that actually keeps me at peace not having it, is
right.
It's almost maybe when you get it, you'll be above it or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
You'll be whatever.
Right.
Blue check mark.
So anyway. Not that, back to Wikipedia.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I completely derailed you because I was so not caring about this thing.
So I think our new strategy has to be, because I don't feel like being on the Cave Spring High School Wikipedia page is really that big a deal. And at this point, to me, it's just a game. It's not even about whether we deserve it or not. It is a game.
Okay.
So, listeners, new strategy. We need to cease fire on the Cave Spring High School page for now.
For now.
And in the meantime, I think what Wikipedia deems notable is whether or not you have a Wikipedia page.
Hard is it to have a Wikipedia page?
The reason's like probably not hard. So I think, because this was the thing, there was a few rounds of updates. We had the red links where it was like, this is a person who doesn't have a page yet.
Yeah.
And then people started tweeting me and they're like, haha, Ben has a page and you don't. That means he's the one true host. But joke was on you. They were linking to the wrong Ben Carlin.
No, was it the author?
It was the author.
I knew it. Ah, the other Ben Carlin.
Other Ben Carlin. So I think. Our new strategy has to be, like, we have to have our own Wikipedia pages. And then you can go in. Because then when they check it, they'll be like, oh, yeah, they have a Wikipedia page.
So, it's like, okay, our own internal sources.
You can use their own logic against them.
Yeah. It's like, see, now you told us that we were significant enough to have our own Wikipedia page. Although I could totally see it being one of those things where it's like, wow, you're right. I don't know how it slipped past us. Let's delete your pages.
No, they couldn't. That would be ridiculous to delete the page.
Well, it doesn't feel impossible.
Maybe. Who knows what's going on over at the Wix. So anyway, before we restorm that castle with our little popcorn knights. Knights was our high school mascot. That's why I'm using that phrase.
Oh, I love that. I love that. The popcorn knights.
Popcorn knights.
Yeah. They're like a tribe of horseback riding. What other good qualifiers? I would just assume they would have the popcorn culture flag, which is obviously popcorn.
Do we have a flag?
Should we have a flag?
Maybe we should have a flag. I don't know. I'd like, certainly you don't want your flag to just be like the logo on a square.
Oh, well, no, certainly not. I mean, yeah. That would be humiliating.
Right, yeah.
You're right. But instead it would be...
To be determined.
See, I just thought maybe you had something in your head already.
I don't. I don't have anything in my head at the moment, but I'd be okay with such a thing for the popcorn knights to fly as they storm in wherever they go. Yeah. So we'll continue to stay up to date on the... On the Cave Spring High School.
On the Cave Spring High School.
Wikipedia page. Let me tell you, Ben, if someone else's name appears on that page before us, oh man.
No notable graduates better do anything interesting before we get there.
No. I'm sure they would.
Hold on. Okay. So speaking of Twitter, because we were talking about it, before we went on to record today's episode, I basically just asked the interwebs, Twitterverse, for a topic for us to talk about.
Okay.
And so let's see. I'm scrolling through now, trying to figure out like what's a really good possible conversation. And it may fit nicely here because I find myself in an interesting situation where I've seen half of the movie/production Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Which was highly requested as something for us to discuss. So thank you, everybody from Twitter who requested Hamilton.
Yeah.
So after all this time spent with Hamilton and having never observed it, forever I had the excuse that was like, you know, I don't like live in a city where I could go see it. Like,
yeah.
What am I to do?
This has been the thing about Hamilton as an entity, like since it debuted, it was like everyone like loved it so much, but it was also surrounded with this air of impossible to see it.
Right. So it was like if you could get tickets, that was like getting a Furby, but like it never stopped being a thing.
Yeah, it was like everyone seemed to love it so much and yet no one seemed to see it. So there was this weird like cloud of support and love for the show, even though like so few people had seen it.
Right. It seemed like the soundtrack alone seemed to be so powerful in giving you like the full experience.
Yeah.
In that people were like just enamored with just listening to it without like, you know, seeing the actual...
That does seem to be the case. And like, to me, I like battled with this for years about whether or not like, do I just want to listen? Should I just buy the soundtrack and just listen to it? But then I was like, no, because I want to be able to see it. I want to be able to see it fresh.
Yeah.
Like when I see it, I want, you know, I don't want it to be spoiled. Not that, you know, like, I mean, it's history, so sort of already know how it's going to end.
You got to know where it's going.
Kind of know where it's going.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think you're going to win this war, guys?
How will they do it?
How will
the
they?
The British seem so much more prepared.
They have so many more resources. Yes. Wow. I don't know. Anyway, but I held out the entire time. I only ever really listened to that like opening song.
Right, yeah,
where
me too.
Hamilton introduces himself and finally came out on Disney Plus, and I watched it for the first time and I was like, that was amazing, and I was so glad I'd waited. But I also had this like other issue I was dealing with while I determined whether or not I should wait, which was like, okay, if I see it live, I also want to be able to make sure I'm following what they're saying.
Yes.
Because, you know, like, just by I knew by reputation that it was, you know, like, most of the show is like hip hop and rap.
Right.
And it's like, sometimes you need one or two listens to really take in, because, you know, rap is very fast.
Yes.
And so if you're not like exactly familiar with the story or what they're saying, maybe, yeah, I feel like there was a lot you could miss out on if you weren't like prepared for it. So it's like, maybe I should listen to it so that I'll have a better idea of what they're saying so that I can follow the story better so that I'm not so focused on that.
But then you don't want to ruin it by listening to
but
it.
Then but then I've heard it already.
Ugh!
Oh, I had such a loop.
Yeah, so I think the recommendation you ultimately had was to watch it with captions.
Yes.
Which is what I've been doing so far.
Oh, okay.
Which I do think absolutely helps, because I'm able to like really like kind of keep the measure of like what's going on, because it's like it is all song.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing.
Yes.
So that's something to take in. But no, I have been blown away so far. My experience with Hamilton was interesting, and we maybe have talked about this before, but going back to the very first year season months that it was coming out, I remember going once again to VidCon. I don't know, apparently a lot of notable things happened at VidCon, but we had our like group of YouTube friends that we were hanging out with, and they were all so like infatuated with
they
Hamilton.
Did not let not seeing it stop them from listening to the soundtrack,
not even at all. And I remember we're like walking around like the convention center, and like one of them would just like bust into song, and the rest of them just all also knew the words, and so they're like marching along like in full blown, you know, like Hamilton sing song. And I'm like I don't know, I have no idea what's going on right now, like I was so far behind, and I think I felt so left out,
right,
that it like kind of became this thing where I was like I was almost uninterested in Hamilton, because my association with it was that it brought me back to a period of time where I felt left out of something,
right,
where like I was not included,
right,
which you know, of course I didn't want to like slow down their fun either, but it was just sort of the truth of the matter. And so I think even when it came out on Disney Plus, it was like, okay, like I need to see it. But I was still hesitant. Like I was still, right, like years later, finding myself in this position of like, man, I don't know. Like what if I don't like it after all this time or something?
Mm-hmm.
And so I fired it up last night. I actually the other thing I drastically underestimated was how long it is, which is 3 hours,
yep,
or something. And so Allie and I are watching it, and I'm like having a blast, but I'm also like, I paused it at one point to let the dogs out, and it was like there was an hour and a half left, and I was like,
okay.
So I'm gonna be watching the final bit, the last like 40 minutes tonight, which I'm very excited about. But I will tell you, the big thing that happened to me was that I was like pumped up.
Yeah.
Like all of the songs. Yeah. I was like, I could like work out to this. Like all the characters are so cool. It's all so smart. It's very well written. Oh man. Everything about it was just like, it was really neat.
Right.
To watch it come together.
So all of your FOMO has like dissipated, and it did not ruin it for you.
It did not ruin it for me. No. Yeah. By the time I finally got there, it was kind of like, oh yes, it is awesome. I am now part of it. I've liked it from the beginning.
Right. Now, are you just like a Hamilton bandwagon fan, Ben? Jeez.
No.
No.
Maybe. Hard to say, really. No, I genuinely really like it. So I'm glad that I'm finally on board there.
Did you buy the soundtrack?
I've not bought the soundtrack yet because I haven't finished it yet. But I actually, while I was listening to it, I was like, oh, I'm buying this for sure.
This is happening.
Yeah. This is totally going to be like what I listen to in the car all the time and always as I'm driving around, basically until...
Yeah. Are you going to show up at the beach and just be like, Alexander Hamilton?
Okay. I think I'm
talking... Because we have like a 6-hour car ride to the beach this weekend.
True. Good point. Yeah. So I could get it in twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the word to any songs like hard stop, let alone something where they're like specifically telling a story and it's not all just like, you know, the parts of the songs you would recognize.
Well, let me ask you this. How much show tunes have you listened to in the past?
How
are
much?
There any other musicals? I guess probably like Disney musicals and stuff. Like, have you any like Broadway shows where you have like downloaded the soundtrack and listened to it?
Nope.
Nope.
That's never happened.
Oh, wow. So this is going to be like brand new territory for you.
Brand new. I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, boy.
It'll be interesting. So what do I need to know? How do I prepare myself?
It's the same as anything else. You just turn it on and listen to it. And if you like the track, you know, repeat. Otherwise, keep going back. What I have found with show, like listening to like Broadway stuff like this, is that almost always what happens to me is that I will, there'll be two or three songs that are like probably the big ones, you know, just sort of by reputation from the show.
Sure.
And you'll like listen to those, be like, oh, that was fun. And you kind of get really used to those. And then you'll start sort of like creeping into the other songs as
right,
well.
Right.
And eventually it'll be like, okay, now I know, like, are there any I haven't heard yet? Like I used to work like at a theater.
Yeah.
Doing like the marketing for incoming shows.
Not a movie theater.
Not a movie theater.
Like a theater with a
like
stage.
Like a theater.
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 Is that the difference? Is it like movie theater?
Nope. You can choose whether you want ER or RE. It's completely down. Just there's no distinction.
Well, I don't like that at all. There needs to be a hard ruling. Someone should decide. Where do you land? Are you theater?
I like RE myself.
RE. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It does seem much better than theater.
Yeah, theater. Yeah. but we would have a Broadway series every year. And so part of it's difficult to market the show if you didn't know what it was about. So I would often just like try and listen to some of the music here and there. And then Beth also, when we were on like long car rides, she would go into Pandora and just pull up like the Wicked station because she would like the show Wicked. And that will play you a lot of songs from Wicked, but it would also leak you out into other like, because it's Pandora. So it's like choosing other songs from shows you probably like if you like Wicked. And so then, you know, you get used to sort of like all the hits from all the other shows,
sure,
and stuff like that. And I think it's kind of like Disney songs, where it's like it's kind of easier to learn Disney songs in some respect for whatever reason.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, I think by design they're intended to be like rather simple and catchy.
Yeah.
And so it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That like, you know, they would be highly digestible, mm-hmm, because at the end of the day, like compared to like maybe another song where you could just like the beat of it or like the sound of it, which, mm-hmm, is typically the way that I consume music, is like I have listened to tons of music that had underlying meanings before where I had no, like I never took the time to figure out like what the song was about.
Yeah.
I just liked how it sounded.
Right.
And so that was kind of like one of those things that never really, never became a thing. But with a Broadway musical, on the other hand, where like literally what you're listening to is the story being told, I think it is probably meant to be that much more understandable, which then I think makes it easier to know the words,
right? Because like you can like remember, like you're telling the story.
Yeah.
So we shall see. Interested to see what emerges in your Hamilton listening. So far me and Beth, we've been listening to the soundtrack a lot since it came out, and we've been largely sticking to the first act thus far.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I could see that. There's a lot of solid jams in there.
For sure.
I think my favorite character so far is George Washington.
Ah, yeah. He's very fun.
I quite like George Washington. And then when Jonathan Groff was coming out, who plays
King George. Yeah.
He was one who I knew Jonathan Groff, who of course voices, you know, Kristoff in Frozen. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, well, I know exactly who he is. And as soon as he started talking, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, the King George songs are so funny.
They are. They are really, really catchy and hilarious.
Yeah.
Me and you were talking about this sort of off pop before we hopped on here, but you were kind of talking about how he does a really good job of injecting so much personality into like each syllable.
Well, he's got such a difficult job because he's alone on stage, at least for his first song. Some of the other numbers, more people are on stage, but he comes out, he hasn't been introduced at all,
right,
other than just sort of like, you know, the king is the enemy,
right,
and he's not like dancing, and he has to, but his whole thing is he's like comedic, you know, it's like comic relief.
Yes.
For sure.
Yep.
So he's having to convey a lot of humor without being able to like even move around very much or like dance or anything like you might expect for someone on Broadway.
Right.
But so one of the things I found is interesting is if you go listen to like the like Broadway soundtrack that you can like buy on iTunes or something, and then you watch the Disney Plus version, and to me, like, there is such a large variation between those two in a way that doesn't feel like as much variation from a lot of the other songs.
Okay.
Right. It sounds to me like because he can't do much, he had to just like polish each word in like a very comedic way to where like almost every single thing he says like makes you laugh.
He's like he's really, really, really like gone over each like quite literally every single thing you're going to hear.
Yeah.
And made it just right.
Yeah. So job well done to everyone though. Man, what a great show, Hamilton.
Across the board, yeah.
Can I tell you, okay, this is the first time I ever heard about Hamilton.
Okay.
And I feel so foolish when I think about it now, given the test of time. But this is gonna start further back. So the company I used to work for when I was working at the theater, I worked at the building, but you worked for a company called Global Spectrum. They're not called that anymore, but they were venue management. They manage many theaters and coliseums across the country.
Okay, so it's a company whose specific purpose is to go into existing structures and basically be like, we know how to run events.
Yeah, we know how to run events. We know how to because every, I guess, venue was running, you know, just however they did.
Right.
And they're saying like, we've got experience. We know this works here. We've implemented it here. This has happened, you know, whatever. That's not really what the story's about. Every year they would have this big marketing conference. If you were in the marketing side of things, you would go to this. And, you know, I'd never been to like work conferences or anything before. I had no idea what to expect, but it is just like a 4-day party, basically.
Yep.
Like you just sit, they have a bunch of people that, you know, give and talk and give presentations, and you'll go off in little small groups and be like, come up with brainstorms and you'll tell everyone and whatever. But then, you know, come 5 o'clock, they're like, all right, now we're going to zip lining and, you know, we're going to go do all, you know, they just want you to have a good, fun time and back to your hometown and be like, I am so high on this company.
Right. Yes. No, it, you're exactly correct. It's like conferences, I think, are intended to be like maybe 20% productive and 80% fun.
Yeah. Yeah, so they were very fun, but one of the unexpected fun things that would happen every year, because they would choose different venues to go to every year, because you know they had great event spaces everywhere.
Right, yeah, that's up.
Was you'd get bussed around a lot, and the bus ride would always be this like extremely fun thing where, you know, someone would have like a cooler, but people would just stand up all over the bus, and it would, you know, like they would start singing some like some 90s bop that everyone knows, like NSYNC, Britney Spears, or sure, you know, Fresh Prince or something, and like the whole bus would just like the whole bus, people from, you know, 18 to 50 are just like all just jamming and like screaming the song. It was like this weird thing.
No, it, absolutely, you know, yeah.
It's not, like, not even weird. It was just like, I've never experienced, this was super fun.
It's like the weird, this is like one of those weird things, but like the strange power of music is that like it can be such a common ground for everyone.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it was just like, I was like, okay, I know. It was like, I walked away, I was like, I know how to make bus rides, like real fun. Like, this is a cool thing.
Yeah.
I think this is maybe a little more specific to like conference sort of things.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway.
So when you went to like the middle of New York City and you got on the bus and tried to be like,
no. Not like
everybody.
That. Exactly. Totally failed. I got booed.
People are like taking their like Beats headphones off. No. Like, who is this guy?
But so fast forward, I was at Pixar. I'd gotten invited to go to Pixar Studios to see a preview of The Good Dinosaur.
Okay.
So I could write an article for this website called Movie Pilot, because their whole shtick was that they like published articles, but they didn't have any staff writers. So all of the stuff that was written was just by like users of the website.
Sure. And so it was more of a platform.
I guess it was kind of like a platform, yeah. But they would, you know, still, then they would curate from all the people who wrote in, like what went on the front page and stuff, and like what they shared on their social media and stuff like that.
Yes.
So, but you know, they had a really popular website, so they would get invited to like press junkets, but they didn't have anyone to send because they didn't have any writers.
Got it.
So it turned out that I was posting, I guess, a lot of Pixar articles on there, and they were like, hey, you want to go to Pixar and represent us? And I was like, absolutely.
For sure.
For sure. And it was a really great trip. It was really awesome. I don't think Movie Pilot exists anymore, sadly.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know, it's kind of a bummer. But anyway, I got to go to Pixar and it was great. And, you know, they just invited a writer from every website who talks about movies ever to come do the exact same, you know, interviews with everyone so that everyone can go write their little thing about it. But, you know, very similar. Everyone gets on the bus, you're driving to a place. Everyone gets on the bus, you go drive this place. Here's what we're doing here. Here's what we're doing here. Now you're going to talk to these people. So it's at night. Everyone's sort of like done. Everyone's, you know, had the little meet and greet. Everyone's had some drinks. And the bus driver, like, hands the guy next to me, like, the cord for the speakers. And he's like, yeah, I can just play whatever you want. You can just play it off your iPhone or whatever. And I'm like, oh, you know what you should play? Is you get some like really fun like 90s bops going, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like thinking, you know, you get that going. Everyone's going to be like, oh, this is fun, you know? And
right.
You can get everyone to like join, you know.
Like you're using like your learnt knowledge.
I'm using like my learnt knowledge. Because to me, this is like such an experience, you know, like everyone's so lucky to be here
right.
at Pixar. But like this is not the case for most people. This is just like another weekend at their job where the next movie studio has like requested the next round of press junket reporting.
Yes.
You know, like like, hey, what's up? Remember me from over there, like, you know. So they're not like, to me, this is like once in a lifetime. And sure enough, I've never been back, you know.
Right. It was once in a lifetime.
It has truly been once in a lifetime.
I was not invited back. Yeah.
Movie pilot. Anyway, not important.
But it wasn't me.
So I'm like suggesting this to this guy, like, this is gonna be so fun. Like we can control the music. Like we're on the bus. I know what to do. And he's like, I don't know. I keep listening to this, like, I cannot stop listening to this soundtrack I just got for this new musical. It's called like Hamilton. Like, I know it sounds so weird. It's just about the founding fathers, but it's like so good. And I'm like, like, he's describing it to me before anyone knows what Hamilton is.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
And I'm just like, dude, forget it. 90s.
You have no idea.
And he's, you know, but at the same time, I think if he'd started playing it, no one would have known the songs or anything.
Sure.
It wouldn't have been that. But I feel so stupid because, like, obviously, like, you know, people were just going back to their hotels or whatever. But I remember, like, just the first time, this was the first time I heard about Hamilton, and I was like, lame.
let me tell you what's not going to work.
That. People are going to be into this Broadway musical you've just discovered about Alexander Hamilton.
Right, okay. Right.
Wrong.
Oh my gosh.
Wrong.
Wrong. Turns out. You could have been right on the cutting edge.
Could have been. If I had listened to that guy, who knows? What if I could have been like, dude, I could have come back and been like, forget The Good Dinosaur. I heard about this musical.
Let's start covering that.
Let's
yesterday.
Do it. Yeah. Who knows? But anyway, that was the first time I heard about Hamilton.
What a
on a bus at Pixar.
Fantastic. I've never heard that story before.
No,
that is absolutely amazing. Also, I love the idea of you trying to be like I know how to do bus rides.
it was just sort of like a, like, I wasn't like going to like stand up and start singing, but it was just one of those like, if you play a song that everyone loves right now, like, you have a chance to like unite. Everyone will be into it. Like, it's like, I feel like that still could have happened. I don't feel like I had a good song choices, but whatever.
There is something magic about it. This is like when I go and see when people are like, yeah, like there's like a live band playing or something. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not gonna know any of their music. So like that, like to me that doesn't immediately sound appealing. So like when someone's like, yeah, it's a cover band, I'm like, oh man, count me in.
Yes.
So I feel bad about that because I think genuinely my taste in music is so absurdly elementary
mm-hmm.
that like, yeah, like basically it's like, I want songs that I know.
It's not like a draw. Like if someone's like, yeah, it's gonna be a live band, I'm like, so you're right, we should go somewhere else.
Like we're not gonna be able to hear each other talk.
That is the problem with so much, like whenever I go to like a place that's playing live music, where like if it's a concert, then yeah, the point is
to see the people play.
But if I'm just going to like my local brewery and they're gonna have people playing music, like it's great that they've got live music, but I want to be able to talk. Like I didn't go here for the live music.
Right.
It's just like, if you want to be out there, play your stuff and just provide music.
Yes. And that's sort of where I come from with it too. So we live in a part of the world that is known for having like particularly good like microbreweries.
Yeah.
Like that's sort of like something that it would not be uncommon for that to just be the resting plans for a lot of people in our friend group to be like, yeah, I'm going to this place this weekend. But yeah, no, that's the thing. Whenever you get there, and I feel like this is really what gets me, is like, I tend to think of it as if the band being there is like, oh yeah, like it adds the ambiance. Instead the speakers are like up to like 14 out of 10 and it's like, you can't hear anything. And it's like, you know, but of course, if you're that band and you've been given the opportunity to play for these people, you're like, yeah, like we want to go.
Like, yeah, like I want people to hear my music. Like I understand where they're coming from too.
Yeah, they're not trying to be elevator music. They're not just trying to like give a little extra something to the room.
Yeah.
Like they want to be the room.
Right, exactly.
So, which totally
makes
sense.
I get it.
This is this is where I like, and what I, this is the big thing that happens to me is that like, I'm not musically inclined at all. And, but like when I do see people play, I'm like, I do genuinely believe that if I could learn how to play an instrument that I would love performing in front of people.
Yeah.
Like, I think that it's like that is, so we talked about at the very beginning of this episode, barriers to entry. Like, I feel like what I want to do is not learn how to play a guitar. I want to perform a guitar in front of an audience.
Right.
With the barrier to entry being, I have to learn how to play the guitar.
Right. I'm very interested in performing guitar. I'm very uninterested in learning guitar.
Literally, there is, I mean, it's like a small, like, I don't know that it's a toy guitar. I feel like it's a real guitar. We got it from like Coco when it came out. Oh, yeah. It's literally sitting right next to me right now. But that, it's so interesting because you might be like, well, one of the barriers to entry is like the cost of buying the guitar, which that is actually not really like the huge problem. Like, I, that would be something I would have a lot of fun, like investigating, like getting the right guitar. I could even see purchasing the guitar and a stand for it and picks and like the sheet music or whatever, and having it all like laid out in my office. And then the issue would be doing it, picking it up, being frustrated, having my fingers hurt, like, yeah, you know, or discovering like that I can't do it, which would be so,
you could do it.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, how far are you in Name of the Wind?
How far? I mean, he plays the lute.
Yeah.
I know that much.
Yeah.
So the lute seems hard. Lutes? Is lute the same as a guitar? What is a lute?
A lute is just a 7-string guitar.
Well, why does it sound so much like flute then?
No, it's a guitar.
Well, I want to see what a lute looks like. I'm pulling it up right. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
A lute does look like something that my D&D character would probably have in his knapsack.
So you're going to be like the minstrel. Belly.
Belly and jam-a-lammin'.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Belly and Jam.
Oh, man.
Come and jam with Belly and Jam. That's right. Yeah.
We have to come up with a good band name.
Yep. Oh, this is reminding me of Daniel Tiger, where the Baker and Music Man Stan have a band, and they're called, oh, what is it? Bread and Jam.
Bread and Jam.
He likes bread and I like to jam. That's what like, that's a really good name.
That's a really good name. Actually, recently, I have one of our good friends, Michael Austin, is a particularly good cook.
Yeah.
And I like to bake. And so me and him, like, were joking around one night after we made some barbecue. Let me clarify that. He smoked spectacular barbecue that was like the best I've ever eaten in my life.
Yeah.
And I went over and ate it.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, we should start a company called, wait for it, Bacon Bros. You get it?
Because he'd be cooking bacon, but you'd be bacon.
Yeah, because I'd be, yeah. So yeah. It's a play on words. Yeah. That's how it works.
Oh, very clever.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Bacon Bros.
How would you spell it?
B-A-C-O-N, like bacon. But like how great would it be? But then the logo would be like much more like muffin shaped or something. or macaron. But yeah, I mean, how awesome would it be to go and have like a place where you can get like donuts, you know, like with barbecue inside of the donut sandwich?
It doesn't sound good.
No?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll work on it.
Okay.
It's all a workshop, so.
you bring it back around.
I'll bring it back around. All right. Surely there's a way to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, guys, thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. I feel like we covered a million different things. If you have any feedback for us, we want to hear it. You can do that either on our Reddit page.
Yeah.
Or you can email your thoughts to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Also, I want to give a huge thank you to these patrons who support us over on Patreon. This week we have Katarina Jerich, Sophia Henderson, Bailey Marcus, Sam Goldman, Madeline Tyrell, Bill Conrad, Holly Laws, Jenner Durfler, Jared Rester, and Jaden Easton.
Boy, Madeline Tyrell, that reminds me of Game of Thrones. It sounds like it could have been a character.
It sounds like maybe even is a
maybe
character.
Even is. I mean, the Tyrells were a family in Game of Thrones.
They were.
Marjorie.
Marjorie, yeah. Is close to Madeline.
Yeah, it starts with an M, all right.
It does. Hey, okay. Well, maybe it's one and the same.
Maybe.
Who is that actress? I always forget her name.
Natalie Dormer.
Natalie Dormer. Man. Anyway, guys, until next week.
Pop, pop.